Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome into a brand new episode of the RSL Show on the KSL Sports Network. I am the intern, Alex Napolis. Happy to be back. It's been a while since I've got to sit down with you guys and chat a little bit. We have Andy Munoz.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. I'm all right. Happy birthday. Belated.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. And then we got Joshua Clark over here to the right.
What's up, everybody? What's up?
How you doing, Josh?
You know, I'm peachy. You know, we live to fight on.
I didn't think that we would be here doing a game three episode, but here we are.
Yeah, you know, sometimes they surprise us, you know, and we're always thankful. We are always thankful when they do. So here we are, another week, another RSL show. Let's get into it.
Bummed that I wasn't able to be there. The atmosphere looked fantastic on TV. Sad that I had to miss that, but overall happy that RSL is fighting on, and now we have a game three on Saturday at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. Let's jump into what happened in game two. First of all, the initial reaction to the lineup, a couple of changes, Palacio coming back in, back to that 4-4-2 that Pablo uses so often. What was the initial reaction to the lineup heading into this game two against Houston?
It was the lineup it needed to be. You know, you had your best players on the field, essentially. So it was the lineup it needed to be. It was the lineup we all wanted to see. I think I still would have preferred Anelli over Brody. I've definitely cooled off on Brody as of late, but otherwise, very strong lineup. Oh, I also would have preferred Musselski over Julio. Just based on the fact that we're not playing super, super direct over-the-top balls, right? At the beginning of the game. But otherwise, it was a good, strong lineup.
So looking at the lineup, it's probably the best 11 that Pablo Mastroianni could have put out to start this match, except maybe one, which we saw how much of an impact he had later on in the game, was Chicharango, obviously still kind of easing him back into that starting 11. But just with what we saw from Chicho in that second half, how much different, not only does he make that second half, but also how different would it have been if he partook in, say, a game one or maybe a full 90 in game two?
I don't know that game one would have been much different just based on the kind of style we played, which was kind of sitting back. Had he started in game one, I think that's a completely different game again. The impact he made was seismic. I'd say seismic. Interchange play suddenly came back. There was suddenly some more movement on the ball. It wasn't perfect, but before he came on, there was no movement off the ball, right? We saw some beautiful interchange play. We started taking our chances, which I don't know why we don't take our chances when he's not on the field, but I think he kind of spurs that. We saw him with a beautiful attempt on a chip on Steve Clark. So, you know, having Chicho back, it's massive. It's risky. I mean, I'm glad to see him, but I'm nervous anytime a tackle comes in at him or, you know, he takes off for a sprint because we all know how hamstrings are. But yeah, it's incredible what a true DP caliber player does for your squad.
Yeah, one thing that, you know, stood out when, especially when Chicho came out, it was kind of the reminder from the announcers kind of saying that, you know, this was one of the top scorers in the leagues prior to his exit from LAFC. And like Josh said, you really do feel the immediate impact. But I think, you know, being nervous when he did go down or when he has like that face where he's wincing a little bit when he gets tackled, you're just kind of waiting for like, oh no, he's going to be out for like the third match. It was rumored that he was going to be in for about 30 to 45. Can't remember exactly the amount of minutes that he was on for the second match.
Came in around the 60th.
Okay. So yeah, around 55th. Yeah. So around like 35 minutes of Chicharango. Immediate playmaker, immediate morale booster. It's just a different team, and that's really what kind of hindered us in the first match, and especially, you know, the absence of Justin Glad, which I'm sure we're going to talk about here in a little bit, because there's mixed feelings on Twitter about Justin Glad and how he helps but also hurts this team. But Chicharango, I think for game three, if there's any availability, if he goes a full 90, it's going to be a completely different team that I feel a lot more confident going into Houston with.
Yeah, and we'll get into this later, but it's all going to depend on how we go out in Houston, right? You know, Mitch hadn't been to a game. He came with us to this game. It's been his first game in 4 years since he's moved back. And when Chicho's number went up, I said, Mitch, tell me if you've ever heard, really ever heard the stadium do what it's about to do. And as soon as they announced Chicho Arango's name, deafening, right? It's incredible what energy that player brings, even to the crowd, let alone the players.
It's BPE, big player energy.
Yeah. I mean, they were, he had gone down at one point and the entire South goal started a Chicho chant that went throughout the whole stadium, loud as can be. So like, I wish everyone could get behind every player like this, but I get it as a, you know, just a normal fan or a casual fan, even a hardcore fan at such times. But like, I wish every player got that support, but it's nice to see that someone's getting that recognition. Demir does a little bit, but you know, Chicho's now the man. And I think another player that's hot on his heels and is going to start getting that love is Diego Luna.
100%. 100%. And we'll get all into, we'll dive into the match now to get into the Luna talk and the Chicho talk.
Hang on. Josh said Diego Luna, and my immediate reaction was,
I don't know if I should be creeped out by that.
Or... Love me some Diego Luna, bro. Anyways, all right, go ahead.
The RSL savior, as Andy calls him.
He is the RSL savior, bro.
Hey, look, it didn't start all pretty for Real Salt Lake in this one, right? There was still early chances for Houston where it looked like they might take a lead. There were still moments of defensive lapses where mistakes were made and put Houston in behind. But I think ultimately, you look at the 27th minute when Justin Glad, who, like Andy mentioned, just coming back from the injury, and he commits a challenge inside the box. PK is called. Amin Basse steps up to the spot and converts. And now RSL are all of a sudden trailing 30 minutes into the match.
Yeah, you know, I had gone on to the radio with KSL Radio to talk about just a brief preview. And in my notes, because you always over prep for the radio, even though it's going to be 3 minutes, you want to kind of be ready with like 5 to 7 answers for different topics. But they only asked me 3. But in my notes, I had written that where the most danger comes from in a match like this is either a PK that is gifted or a red card early on. And so it was something to be expected, not necessarily from Justin Glad committing a foul in the box, but that's where I think we have to be sharp. We have to be a sharp team. We have to really cool it. But again, there was a slip, I would say, kind of leading into Justin Glad's tackle. Looking back at the replay, it did seem a little bit accidental. You can't really pin it on Justin Glad for maybe making a dumb move like we would see from maybe Marcelo Silva. But it's ironic that I had it pinned in my notes, because it always seems like in these matches, Josh, you can back me up in this, it always seems like in these matches that are must wins, there's always something that's going to impact us, either coming from a PK or being a man down.
Yeah, we've become the masters of self-inflicted troubles, whether it be red cards or PKs. And I know you mentioned Marcelo there, but I mean, he's been at fault to a few this year, but I think Justin Glad's taken that mantle. I mean, he has been a good player, but in the last couple of months, you're looking at a red card or a PK from him every other game. That's troubling.
But the positive spin to that too is I was excited for Glad to come back, because that also means that you could potentially get a goal from Justin Glad.
Absolutely. It's just, you know, this one was very unfortunate, right? He definitely slipped going into a hard tackle like that. You don't want to be slipping, but you know, as a fan, not as a member of the media, but as a fan, it's really easy to go again. You know, what the hell is going on again? So it's difficult, right? And you feel for Glad. It's got to affect him. It has to affect him. But I really think RSL needs to start cleaning up these self-inflicted injuries that are really holding him back in a lot of ways.
And to your point, it does seem like it is affecting him, because we have not seen the same Justin Glad that started the year since the mistakes started coming. Since that Leagues Cup break, Justin Glad has been so mistake prone. There was a little bit of a boost in confidence with the goal and the captain's armband taken away. He seemed to do a little bit better without the spotlight on him, but then in comes the red card, in comes more mistakes. And so if Justin Glad's going to be that centerpiece of that defense, he needs to get back to Justin of old. He needs to get back to that Justin that has that confidence to be that leader of that back line.
Right. And unfortunately, I think there really is a thing to players get a little bit of a reputation throughout the years. And I feel like it's not a bad one for Justin right now, but I feel like referees are really watching him. And kind of honing in on him, honestly. So I hope we get through a couple more games and this offseason can come and he can get his confidence back and return even better. But yeah, the self-inflicted injuries they're getting old, really.
So Amin Bassi steps up to the spot. McMath guesses, gets a parry, and then a wide open shot to the net for Amin Bassi puts Houston up 1-0. What do you guys see and feel about that that rebound that Bassi had to put him up?
So this is the second or third penalty kick this year that McMath has gotten to.
Yeah.
But we have not acted.
Including the second one from Bassi.
Yes. So I don't know why we're a step slow, but I feel like we're on the back foot when it comes to going for those rebounds, which is another issue. You're not always going to get to him, but we weren't even close to challenging for that second
one. I wonder if the players just assume that it's going to go in, and so they're not ready for that rebound, which would be not a smart move, because you never know. And Zach McMath has proven this season that he can be a shot stopper when it comes to PKs, but it just seems like the guys aren't ready for that rebound.
Right, and like you can always assume that your goalkeeper's not going to get to it, but this is a playoff game. This is a big game.
Absolutely.
You got to put the effort in, right? And we just didn't see it.
Yeah, I think what you're alluding to is kind of maybe seeing like a peel out from the players that are waiting, right? Like regardless of whether it's going in or not, you might look a little foolish if it does go in and you're already like there ready for a deflection. But I agree, man. I don't know what Zach McMath could do any different. It's already tough as it is to get a palm on a ball. Whether you can convert that palm into a fist and maybe you'd hope it deflects a different way, it's just tough, man. PKs, they're set up to be in favor of the opposing team, of the forward that's taken them or whoever it's awarded to. So, you know, after seeing Zach McMath's performance on not only the PK, but also, I guess, the penalties after the 1-1 result, which we'll get into more, it does give me a little bit more confidence to have someone like that as our primary goalkeeper. I don't know. You just can't really fault McMath for it, but also I wonder how common it is for other teammates to get into a deflected ball like that and just clear it. I wonder what the success rate of that is. We've seen it.
It's probably not high.
It's got to be low.
It's probably not high, but it's all about optics, right? It's all about could you have gotten there? It's all about seeing effort.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to.
So we move into the halftime break. Again, Arsenal's trailing. What are the feelings? What are the emotions from you guys heading into that halftime trailing at home?
I actually didn't feel too bad on this one. I feel like we this time were getting under Houston's skin, which is a first. I'm really surprised Houston didn't come away with a red card, to be completely honest with you. They had moments where they could have. Steve Clark got a yellow 5 minutes into the game, right?
So there was the high heel from Bassi that potentially, absolutely. High boot that maybe should have seen an extra look from VAR. I don't know, but that one was dangerous from Bassi.
Right. So the fact that it was our turn to get into their heads, that gave me hope, right? And then, you know, knowing we have a Chicho, a Demir, a Musoski, some real firepower on the bench to come in, that also gave me, you know, some confidence going into the second half, which hasn't been a real thing this year at home.
Yeah, but you can't help and maybe feel a little bit of that anxiety just knowing that you're down 1-0 at home due to a mistake. So I think for me going into the half, it was kind of a different feeling. Of course, I wasn't at the stadium like Josh was. And I don't know. I felt for me that in this match, I ran with a prediction that went 50-50 of whoever put one in the back of the net first would ultimately win. Maybe because Houston Dynamo got to it first with the PK, it probably set a whole different tone and it probably didn't worry us too much just because of the fact that it was truly a mistake. So I was still a little bit optimistic, but I'm not going to lie, man. I was a little nervous. Going into that, I'm thinking, man, okay, this might be the last football match, period, for RSL.
Yeah, and honestly, I can agree with that. My headspace was, you know, if we win this, cool. If we don't, cool. So I think that kind of helped my outlook at the game.
Yeah. At the halftime, you know, Houston holds a record in league play where when they go up a goal, they don't lose. They don't lose the game. They have yet to lose when leading in a match. And so at the halftime break, I'm nervous. I'm scared because with the way that Houston has been playing heading into the playoffs, with what they've done all season, I thought that this was going to be it for Real Salt Lake. But you come back into the second half and it seems like this team is just injected with a new energy. We're getting some better build up play. We're getting better passes through the middle. And then what we talked about earlier, the sub that everybody that was waiting for, Gijo Arango's introduced, and then all of a sudden we're just attacking and attacking and attacking Steve Clark's goal. What ultimately, like, what is that? What changed, I guess, for Real Salt Lake in that second half coming out? What did you guys see differently from Real Salt Lake heading into that second half?
Honestly, just some confidence going forward. They definitely switched to more of a direct style, which would have helped Anderson Julio, but also Houston sat back some more right in the second half. I'm trying to protect that one goal lead. So, you know, a little bit of a tactical shift from Houston. The game was in their heads. RSL just coming out believing, which, you know, that's what Pablo does. So he got to them this time. Yeah. And then just, you know, a decent sub. And the ball got rolling.
I think for me, it's like a sudden burst of almost like adrenaline. You know, it was like the shot that we needed, like the espresso shot that this match needed. Now, the positive thing in this entire match, when we go back and look at the stats, is the first match versus Houston, we were just absolutely outplayed. We were outpassed by like 200 passes.
Yep.
Our possession was about 28%. So when you go back and look at this as a whole, we're keeping up, if not exceeding, those prior stats. And so what, we don't know if it's due to being at home or if things might have shifted when Chicho stepped onto the pitch. But what I love seeing is all of the link-up play and the creativity that having somebody like Chicho and Diego Luna on the pitch together creates. And then you're still seeing, I mean, you know, what we criticize a lot in some of the matches in like the regular season is the failure for, you know, for midfielders to get back or to play defense or not looking up for like the open pass on the wings. For me, this match, I didn't see any lack of that. The moment that Chicho stepped on the pitch, there were opportunities coming from everywhere. And for the first time, it looked like we were really just taking it to Houston and controlling. So that's what Chicho added for me once he stepped on.
Before we head into and talk about Savarino and what Savarino did, what are your guys' feelings toward the officiating in this match? There's a lot of mixed reviews on Twitter, on Instagram. Ultimately, at the end of the game, RSL outfouls Houston 21-14 fouls called. Officiating wise, how did you guys feel?
I was looking forward to the referee's performance when he didn't deal with Steve Clark's nonsense at the beginning of the game, right? An immediate yellow. But then it just, the wheels kind of fell off. I feel like he was pretty inconsistent. although he did hand out a good amount of yellows to Houston, it still felt very inconsistent. Some of the things called on RSL were very soft, and I feel like Houston really had to work to borderline injure someone to get anything called against them. So, you know, it's fine. I didn't love his interaction with Gomez when Gomez was a little demonstrative. Staring down a young kid is odd, but, you know, I guess he's just trying to assert his dominance in the game. But, yeah, could have been better officiating. On the PK, he let the play go on. It didn't just call the PK.
Yeah, yep.
Advantage, sorry. Yeah. I lost the word advantage. Playing advantage on a penalty kick is weird to me. Yeah, so inconsistent. Luckily, in the shootout, he made the right decision with VAR. Had that not gone our way, I think everyone would have lost the plot. But yeah, just an inconsistent performance, but I think we're all extremely used to that.
For a second there, early in the match, it looked like he was already going to lose control of the game, because I think right after the Clark time-wasting yellow card, there's a little bit of a confrontation, and it seemed like, okay, like, here we go. He's going to lose control of this match, but luckily he didn't. I do agree that there was a lot of inconsistencies, but I definitely thought that there was going to be a little bit more in that one, in this match.
Yeah, the fact that there was no red card given on either side was a bit surprising.
we'll take it.
Absolutely. But
heading to the goal now, where Jefferson Savarino, I don't remember who went down or who committed the foul, but someone goes down near the edge of the box, and immediately from the reaction, I don't know if you guys saw it, but the reaction of Hector Herrera said everything, because he was furious. He was throwing the ball. He was punching the ball. He was yelling at Coco Cascarilla, who committed the foul. I think it was Oviedo who went down, actually. He was yelling at Coco Cascarilla for committing the foul, and he knew what we knew, and it was that Jefferson Savarino, that's Sava's spot.
Mm-hmm.
That is where he loves to hit him. That is where he loves to take him. And Jefferson Savarino with a golazo to put RSL 1-1.
Yeah, I'm also going to dump on Steve Clark at the same time, because that's the goalkeeper's strong side on that free kick. So the fact that he was beat on his strong side it's pretty bad, bud. Tights might have been a little tight.
How was the how's the celebration at the stadium?
It's magnificent.
Yeah. What about the press box? You're not.
Oh, we lost our minds. We did not behave.
Yeah. So I was gonna say, you're
no
not
one behaved.
To celebrate, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I wonder. I'd love to see Trey in that situation.
He was losing his mind. Yeah. It was glorious.
That was a bomb, dude. Straight bomb. Like it's that's why it's so hard to gauge Savarino. It's hard to decide whether you like him or not, especially when he does stuff like that. And honestly, man, if I were Savarino and I bombed it like that, I understand, you know, this match. But with everything that, like, we've been saying and the media has been saying, and maybe a lot of what the fans have been saying, I would shush the home RSL crowd.
I don't think we're that bad. but again, I'm going to go back to dogging on Steve Clark because it's easy. So Houston sets up their wall, right, on the goalkeeper's weaker side. RSL then places three players to Steve Clark's strong side, which should absolutely telegraph what the plan is. As soon as Savarino approaches that ball, those players are ducking. That's where the ball's going. And he still moved too early and gave up his strong side. Poor goalkeeping from Steve Clark, and I absolutely love to see it.
Do you think that Steve Clark is a great goalkeeper?
No, I think he's very mid. I think he just is. He's one of those guys that always performs well against us.
Yeah.
But I do not think he is. I don't think he's better than McMath in any aspect.
Yeah. Just like lucky and blessed to have a great defense.
Not even that. I think he just.
This season, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the past.
This season, maybe. But from a veteran goalkeeper, from a guy who's been in this league for literally ever, you do expect him to be a little bit better at that strong side post. You do expect him to be to know a little bit of what Real Salt Lake's planning to do when you have those three guys in that position. And ultimately, I just don't think Steve Clark made a smart choice. He should have done better on the free kick. But at the end of the day, happy. Obviously, yeah. A beautiful goal from Savarino gets us back into the game. The amount of times that we've seen Savarino score from that distance and put it into that top angle or curl it to that far post, fantastic. Vintage Sava, and now Ross Lake tied 1-1. I don't really remember anything past the goal. I just remember the PKs. So let's head to the penalty shootout.
There's one more thing I have to point out because I'm a hater.
Do it.
There was a very, very bright opportunity for Houston to win this game.
Ooh, yeah.
It was a 2v1 breakaway.
Yep.
Corey Baird streaking down the right side, open net, and puts it right over the top.
Yeah. Beautiful. It was very reminiscent of what he did here at RSL.
Just reminding everyone why we love him.
Yeah. The commentators had, you know, every moment that the ball would like go to his legs. Oh, the former RSL man, the former RSL this. And that to see that play snuffed and just absolutely just, I don't know. It was just so satisfying and it was so gratifying and it was beautiful. But imagine had that gone in, Josh.
Oh, dude, it would have been.
We would have
LAFC'd him. He would have been covered in beer and.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you know he would celebrate. He would go.
Oh, absolutely. He would have lost his mind.
He would have. Yeah. He would have gone insane, bro. He would have gone on and like celebrated right at the RSL bench.
Absolutely. So you know what? I'm so glad he missed it and got subbed off. And
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we would have lost to a Corey Baird goal?
Eliminated? I probably would have vomited, dude.
Yeah. Well, there's still an opportunity. Game 3 for Baird. But
not at home. It's totally different at home.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, dude, we mentioned it briefly, the Chicho volley. Oh, had that gone in, dude, it would have been amazing. So
absolutely incredible.
That's the creativity that you like to see out of players like that. And I think that's what really separates the goal scorers from, you know, the mid goal scorers. Dude's always looking up, so close. It would have been just an amazing highlight. Probably one of the best goals in the season.
So now moving to the shootout. Interesting choice. I want to point out that it's a very interesting choice that Hector Herrera decided to go shoot at the south goal.
Did they win the toss? I couldn't tell who won it.
They did, yes. So RSL won the toss. They got to pick who went first, and then Houston won the toss and pointed at the south goal. So he picked the south goal to go.
Did they just want to be closer to their bench?
I don't know why they did that, but I thought I thought it was interesting to go and do the PK shootout right in front of the opposing team's supporter section. Hmm. But
yeah, that's brave. That's me. I'm gonna give Hector Herrera this one. I think he was being very confident and wanted to win it in front of them.
That's what I was thinking too. Is you go and you win a shootout and you get to celebrate in front of the south goal and kind of, you know, rub it in RSL's fans' faces, and then you go celebrate with your bench. But they didn't work out that way because Zach McMath, again for the third time this season, denies Bossy from the spot.
Yeah, Bossy's gotta hate him.
100%. And look, Bossy's maybe a little bit of a penalty merchant. I think most of his goals have come from the spot. But for Zach McMath to deny him three times, all the credit in the world to Zach McMath.
Yeah, and that's not a good look for Bossy either.
Absolutely not.
And honestly, this was a fairly lazy penalty down the middle as well. You know, he just anticipated Zach McMath to move. That's all he was hoping for.
Yep.
100%. But he must have telegraphed it. Zach must have seen something. Poor is all I can say.
Yeah, there's a post interview with McMath talking about watching film and studying each player, and I think he does mention Bossy, and he said something along the lines like he had a feeling that would happen, so he just kind of hesitated, waited. Obviously, you know, the refs thought that maybe he had hopped his line a little bit early. But watching it on TV, I was confident. Just even then, I'm like, nope. The Bossy's already going to take the strike, and McMath takes a little hop, which he's entitled to. But he didn't like hop forward or do it as soon as they had thought. So I was super relieved. And we had a moment right there to get classic Arseld. But it was favorable for us, and luckily we didn't have to retake that. I think had it been retaken, obviously Bossy would have struck it much harder, and I'm sure he would have made it the second attempt.
You would hope, anyway.
Statistically speaking, that first penalty is the most important.
Yep, it sets the tone.
It sets the tone for the entire shootout, and so for Zach McMath to come up, make the save, and deny Bossy on the first PK of the shootout, I think that really just gave the confidence for not only McMath but for also the rest of the shooters, the rest of the guys who stepped up to take the PKs, to be confident enough to go in and just smash it, because most of them were honestly really, really nice penalties.
Yeah, I want to say though, the ones that made me nervous, I don't know if we're going to talk about every single PK.
Yeah, let's get into them. Yeah, might as well.
But the one that made me nervous,
let me guess, Vera,
1,000%. And actually, if you go back and watch Vera's,
it's beautiful. It's
a beautifully struck,
but it's a high percentage risk. Like,
exactly, because you know he wants to bomb it, and all it would take is just a little bit, either a little bit of a slip, or if he were to look up a little bit too early, that thing would have been skied all the way to like Jordan Commons Theater.
Absolutely.
So that one was the one that made me nervous. And then I know we're going to probably climb to that, but the second one that made me nervous that I was quite confident in, but just knowing just like how the universe works, right, was Diego Luna's.
Yeah, like, we'll get to that. We'll get to it.
But anyways, let's talk about Demir's pen real quick.
You want to talk about Chico's?
Sure. Okay, Alex, which one do you want to talk first, Chico or Demir?
Chicho went first. Nice penalty. I mean, he's done it 100 times before. He's yet to shoot a penalty for us, but he did 100 times for LAFC.
The run up always makes me nervous. Dude, that run up.
That stutter step is a lot of the penalty styles that these guys did. There's like little to no margin for error, really. Especially that one with the Chicho stutter step, the Vera skyrocket one. There's really like the margin for error is extremely thin. And so fantastic to just see all them end up in the back of the net. But that stutter step from Chicho, fantastic.
Yeah, he's clinical, man. But my favorite part of his penalty wasn't the penalty itself. It was the fact that he didn't celebrate for himself, but he got the crowd into it. He immediately threw his hands up, got everyone into it, got everyone on their feet. That place went from loud to absurdly loud when he threw his hands up. And then Demir does the same thing following.
PKs are so fun, man. They're horrible,
but I love them.
Were you guys nervous for Demir at all, though?
I was, just because he had only gotten, 4 minutes, right, to get warm. It's always scary to put someone in fairly cold for a penalty, but he's Demir, dude. He's a captain. He's a veteran. He's calm. He's cool. He's collect. He knows exactly what he's doing. Had it been anyone else, I might be vehemently against it, but it's Demir Krylak, man. If you want him anywhere, it's in a shootout situation for his team.
Well, and I think that was the plan all along, is Ross like went through training and they made sure Demir got his shots through the shootout in training, because the plan was always going to be to bring in Demir Krylak because of the veterany, because he is still technically the captain. Demir was always going to be on that field in that shootout situation no matter what. And so just having his presence didn't really make me nervous or anything. He was one of those guys that you just step up and you know he's gonna be able to convert.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know he's not gonna try to like Panenka it or something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
he's gonna do his job.
What's the stat that you're chasing for Krylak, Josh? Is it appearances or is it goals?
It's 50 goals. Ooh. I don't know that that counts towards that.
No,
no,
I don't think so.
Wow. All right. So, yeah, I was a little nervous for Krylak, but confident. Love to see that. And then who's up next after Krylak?
Severino,
you know, for as much flack as we give him, when he steps up to the spot, I'm like, okay, we're good.
Yep.
He's going to tug it away. He's clinical like that, right?
Again, he's not going to try to be flashy.
No. He's great in those moments, man. That's where you can rely on him. I just wish that during the regular season and even leading into some of the postseason, that, you know, you could see when he gets in his own head, man, you can kind of see him. His emotions, he just wears them all on his face. And you can tell when he's checked in and when he's checked out.
100%.
100%. And honestly, if he could be checked in an entire season, he could be a Golden Boot contender.
Yeah. Honestly, bro. Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
So we already talked about the Vera PK. So let's head into the decisive one. It is unfortunate that Zach didn't make another save, but it set up the script perfectly for Diego Luna, who, by the way, was asked by Pablo heading into the shootout, when do you want to take it? Do you want to go fourth or do you want to go fifth? And he had the ice in his veins to just look Pablo straight in the eyes and say, fifth. There's nowhere other spot I want but five. And for a 20-year-old to have that confidence, I love it.
Mm-hmm. And in the presser, when he was asked about it, he basically said, this was my vision. This is how I pictured it going down. You know, I wouldn't have had it any other way. I wanted that spotlight. I wanted to score that goal. I wanted to help my team, right? Not in those exact words, but like the confidence and just the way he's carrying himself through this is absolutely incredible.
Diego Luna, man. The face tattoos is what has it for me, bro. Imagine if you're Steve Clark and this little 20-year-old steps up with a little mullet, face tattoos, the jersey's a little bit tight. You know what I mean?
The shorts are a little baggy. Socks are non-existent.
You know,
he's been giving your team fits all night, just dribbling around him.
Exactly.
Reminiscent of the Tasmanian devil on the ball, right? Like making hard defensive plays. Dude, he's the MVP of the game for me.
Bro. He could be the MVP of probably the postseason, man. If we extend a run into the semifinals against SKC, which is going to be a fun conversation.
Let's not go there yet, but
I can see him. I can see him, you know, maybe not taking the reins completely from Chicho, but, you know, just being up there with him, man.
It's nice having multiple guys that you can count on to be the top guy.
It's so amazing to see a 20-year-old step up and kind of take control of the attack and take control of this team when Chicho Arango wasn't available. Even through, you know, the poor run of form that Rouse Lake had heading into the playoffs, there was still that bright spot that was Diego Luna. Mm-hmm. And he's been riding that wave, and it's been it's working out very, very well for Rouse Lake.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to justify not giving him starts or justify not playing him, you know, should we go into like the next season or whatever. There's a lot of talk, like obviously when we did the reunion show, Jake and Mitch, who clearly haven't really been following RSL as much as we have, but they had feelings about Pablo and they don't really think he's like a strong coach. And a lot of what we're seeing on Twitter too, I don't know if you guys are seeing it too, like a lot of people are starting to question Pablo, or if something is positively said in an article about Pablo, people just pick it the hell apart and they're like, no, that's not accurate.
That's fans from Utah with anyone though, you know.
I'm curious to know, like, how do you guys feel about Pablo right now?
I really like him. I still question a lot of things, right? Formations, substitutions, whatever. At the end of the day, Pablo doesn't care what we think, right? And we have to remember that. Pablo doesn't care. He knows what he's doing. He's the coach. We're fans. We're media. Would he like us to like him all the time? Yes. But us complaining about him, it's not going to get him fired. You know what I mean? Like, so I do think he does a lot well. I like him. I think he's a good dude. I think he is really good at, you know, getting guys to believe in themselves. I do question, you know, some of his moves, some of his tactics, some of his lineups, his subs especially. And I question how good he is at developing youngsters. But at the end of the day, he's a good coach.
It's a lot of questions.
I don't know that he's the right coach for the long term, right? That's a fan opinion. It's my opinion. But at the end of the day, he's no Mike Pecky, right? He's better than Pecky. He's better than Juarez. He's a good coach and a good dude. So, you know, we'll see what he can do, and then we'll revisit this conversation.
I think at the end, I think a lot of that criticism that Andy's talking about comes from that poor run that Rouse Lake had to end the season.
Where rightfully so.
where it seemed like he wasn't really making adjustments tactically. He really wasn't making any adjustments player-wise to get out of that slump. And I think that's where a lot of that criticism comes from. And a lot of it comes, I think, from last game too, where switching that formation in a playoff game didn't necessarily work in Rousselik's favor. However, he comes back to what the team knows, what he knows, and they do a little bit better. They force game three. And at the end of the day, I agree with Josh. It's we'll see what happens.
See what happens, man.
Speaking of which, moving forward, Rousselik get the draw win.
It's 1-1. Technically a draw win.
The new format is annoying.
And if you want to be technical about it, you mentioned the stat where if Houston goes up 1 and they don't lose, well, a regular season match would have just ended in 1-1. So they're still kind of technically undefeated. Yeah. And they're, I don't know. I mean, yeah, we count this as a win because clearly it's 1-1, but did we really win?
Regardless.
Let's say that. Obviously, the result is a win, but in our minds, and we'll go around real quick. Did we really win? Josh, did we really win?
This one's tough because it's a penalty kick win. But for me, the bigger thing to this quote-unquote win is the moral victory. This is one of those performances, especially if you're at the stadium that night, that can kind of change the tide of things. That may be an unpopular opinion, but this quote unquote win might actually work out for us really well throughout the rest. It's a tide turning thing, right? It's a slump buster. That's what I'm getting at here.
Yep. And just to piggyback off of that. It's a win. Might've been done the hard way going all the way to PKs. But at the end of the day, it's like Josh said, it's a confidence booster. It forces game three. It keeps Rousselik alive. It gives them another shot at Houston, who they have yet to even beat this season. But now you just have that chance and that opportunity to go down to Houston, go play that game three, and get it off your back, get that win that you just so desperately want against Houston. And I think the team is going to be heading into Houston with all that confidence.
It's a toughie. I'll tell you why it feels like a win. Whatever. We know it's a win. It's stupid that I'm phrasing it that way, but here's why. 14 shots to Houston, 7 shots.
Yep.
Shots on target, they had 5 versus our 3, whatever. Screw it. That basically says we had more chances, more opportunities on Steve Clark. 54 possession versus their 46, 371 passes on their 314, which is a stark contrast of on the first match stats that we had. But also, the only goal that they got came from a mistake from Justin Glad. Mm-hmm. Barely made it. And then we counter that with a beautiful golazo. That's sending a message to Steve Clark saying, hey, dude, be on your toes. We can score, right? And then now, also, the confidence, like you guys are saying, the confidence booster. Well, hey, if we go to PKs, how confident are you if you do push the third match at home in Houston 1-1 that you could win it again? For RSL, I think it's going to be great. I think it'll go great if it goes penalties again. But if you're Houston at home, PKs, I think it's going to be rough knowing that you had already lost the first round of PKs.
Yeah, it's scary. And you know, Houston's had that mental edge on us. They've gotten under our skin all year long. So the fact that we've kind of shaken that off and kind of turned it on them, that's the bigger thing for me, right? We're using what Houston's been using against us, against them now.
And I will say this real quick. Ben Olsen, head coach for Houston Dynamo, highly respects Real Salt Lake, highly respects, almost said Mike Pecky. He respects Mastro and he, dude. Thank God we don't have Mike Pecky going into this. But no, Ben Olsen in the media, man, like in pressers, has always respected this Real Salt Lake team. And even with every opportunity to say that, hey, we're not worried about RSL, we're undefeated. It's never set that tone or that feeling of, you know, to take these matches for granted. He knows it's going to be a battle, and he knows that Real Salt Lake has the edge of being an underdog. So I'm excited, man. I would love to do, you know, prediction talk. Was anybody right from the last predict? What did you? Well, I think you said that we were going to win.
I said 2-1 Houston win. Josh said 3-2 Houston. I said 2-1 RSL win. Josh said 3-2 Houston win.
Right. And I think that I had a 2-1 50-50 for whoever scored first. So technically, I was wrong too. But before we, you know, talk about Sporting KC, I just want to know. I want to know from you, Alex, like, what's your confidence level at out of 10? And what do you think the scoreline will be? And let me know if you think that's going to be like a clean scoreline where we just win it in 90, or if you think it's going to take pens. Let me know, and then we'll get it from Josh too.
What a tough question. I'm gonna go
confidence solid. Level out of 10. Tell us.
I'm gonna go solid 7.
Okay.
Solid 7, and I think this one. I think the game 3 goes to penalties as well.
Result for who?
Got to give it to RSL.
Okay. Josh, confidence level going into Houston. Do you think we can win? If we do, does it happen in pens? Does it happen in the 90?
I think we'll get a 2-1. Actually, no. Man, every time I say we're going to win, we get our asses kicked. I'm going to go 2-1.
Houston.
No, RSL, but it won't be in the 90th. We'll get 2 goals in the second half and cruise through.
Cool. And what's your confidence level, though, for this RSL squad?
I'm about at a 50-50 confidence level. I'm going to stay right down the middle.
Cool. I think, listen, man, when we look at what lies ahead, Sporting KC, which, by the way, let's talk about my prediction way back in July, bro, when everybody was discounting SKC. I literally predicted this, dude. I was like, hey, look out for SKC. They're going to come back and somehow bite us in the playoffs in the postseason, and look at where we are. Hopefully that'll come to fruition, because that'll mean that we'll win match 3. My confidence level for RSL to get a result in Houston, it's probably a 6 out of 10. I think it's going to be the same intensity. We just hope that we take what we saw in the second half. I think this team needs to play like it's the last 10 minutes of the match.
They need to go in and press and press and press and press.
Pretend it's minute 80 and you're down 1-0 and you have a chance to go to pens. Like, play. I mean, they got to play like their season depends on it. And in fairness, I think that's what we saw. Just here at America First Field. So if they take that same intensity, they don't lay off the gas. I think we can pull a result in Houston. I would love to just end their season, come back and focus on SKC. I will say my prediction. I don't want to see it to go penalties, because penalties scare me now. Let's just hope it's like a 3-1, dude. I'm going to go high. I'm going to say RSL is going to go high. We'll see a Diego, maybe a Chicho goal, and Justin Glad goal.
Okay.
I like it.
I hope you're right.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. Let's take a look at what's going on around the playoff picture.
Do we want to talk about Twitter yet?
Not yet. We'll get there.
All right, fine.
St. Louis eliminated by Kansas, as bro. Andy mentioned.
Hang on, bro. If you're a St. Louis fan, man, are you just like beyond? What are they even feeling? I don't even know a St. Louis fan, but what are they feeling?
I'm sure they're sad, but, you know.
Proud?
Sure. It's a good first season.
They defied expectations no matter which way you look at it. No expansion team has ever gone first place and won the conference in the regular season. I think no matter which way you look at it, St. Louis defied expectations, and I think their fans have something to look forward to next season, something to build on.
I don't know. We'll see if they can continue it. I don't have confidence that they can.
But to be beat by an 8th seed struggling SKC, bro. It's rough. It's embarrassing.
It's rough.
Man, if I were a St. Louis fan, I just, whatever. Fine, be proud, but also, I don't know.
LAFC knocks out Vancouver in two games. They're on to the next round.
Of course.
LAFC is looking hot heading into the playoffs now. There was a couple of questions of what LAFC team was going to head into the playoffs, and they look like they're the LAFC of old now after some good matches to end the season and then some really good matches against Vancouver.
They're annoying, man. They're just an annoying club. It's that typical LA team that is, you know, they're quiet until the playoffs and then that's when they show up. And I think out of the West, I think they're probably going to be the favorable to get to the final. So regardless of what happens with us, maybe seeing an SKC, even if we beat them, it's gonna be a tough path.
Absolutely.
It's never an easy path in the playoffs, though. Like, let's be real. Everyone's going for it.
For the last matchups in the West, Seattle and Dallas. Dallas is able to force a game three as well, getting a 3-1 win in Dallas against Seattle Sounders. And so now Seattle and Dallas have a date for game three as well. Sometime, I want to say Friday.
I hope Dallas eliminates them. I'd love to see the Northwest teams out.
Seattle to me just hasn't looked as strong as they have in the past, so it'll be interesting to see if Dallas is able to upset them. Over in the East, Atlanta forces a game three, getting a 4-2 win against Columbus, who is one of the favorites to make it out of the East. Orlando eliminate Nashville, which, by the way, disappointing season for Nashville. You have Hany Mukhtar, reigning MVP. You finally get that DP9 you also wanted, and he comes into MLS and scores a total of 2 goals and basically can't gel with Hany Mukhtar and makes Nashville's attack non-existent.
It's funny to think back, like, how much hype there was around the League's Cup MVP matchup with, like, Messi versus Mukhtar, which for me, it just never really made sense. It was like an overhype. Glad to see them eliminated, but also... I think that's going to be a really fun match three, Thiago Almeida versus Cucho. That's probably a match that you might want to tune into. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of goals in that one.
For sure. And then the last one in the East, New England and Philadelphia, they're playing right now. They're currently tied at 0-0. Philadelphia has the lead. Kai Wagner suspended for the rest of playoffs, basically, unless Philadelphia makes MLS Cup. Due to the whole situation
with Bobby Wood,
with him and Bobby Wood.
Oh my gosh, dude, how ridiculous is this that it's still happening, bro? Like, just shut up. Don't say anything, man. It's horrible, but whatever, man. I think if you use slurs, especially in a professional league, and you get banned, I think it's great on the league to send that message and to say, hey, we don't care if it's the playoffs. We don't care how much of a critical player you might be. You're sitting it out. So good on the league on that one, man. There's really no room for it. It's stupid, bro. It's so dumb.
He came up and admitted to it and, like, took accountability for it. And so the league said 3 games instead of 6, like how Damia Van Zier did. But a lot of people are saying that maybe it's just because Philadelphia's in the playoffs. And
sure,
all that and controversy.
Does it make it okay, though? Is it better?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And apparently they're now saying, like, Bobby Wood instigated it. Who knows?
That there's so much drama going on with Philadelphia and the Wagner situation. But I also want to bring light to Cincinnati, who's the one matchup I forgot. Cincinnati eliminates Red Bulls in 2 matches, but Matt Miazga allegedly had to be forced out of the referee's room because he went in to go pick a fight with the officials after the match. Players from FC Cincinnati are saying that didn't happen. It's not true. Media is saying that they saw Matt Miazga go into it. He had to be forced out by stadium security. Everyone else is saying that he had to be pushed away by other players and club staff. A whole mess for Matt Miazga, who may or may not have done what they are saying that he did.
Sports is so weird, man. It's you know, you've got like racism, fights. Like, none of us here could do that at our jobs and expect to just go back to work. You know, if your job's like, hey, man, just take 3 days off and come back.
Right.
Oh, you owned up to it? All right, cool. Just take a half day, bro. We'll see you back on Friday. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. These players need to act like professionals. It's just, it's ridiculous, man. We saw what happened with Mike Pecky, and it ultimately ruined him. I don't even know what he's up to these days, but people just need to wise up and just not be pieces of shit.
It's been I agree 100%, but it has been an interesting playoffs, to say the least. There's so much controversy going on. There's so much action on going on with the new format. I love it.
It's MLS. You like the best out of three?
I do and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I do and I don't. And that can be a conversation for another time because we're running out of time here.
I like it, though. If you think about it, let's say if we were, I don't know, if they were doing legs or if they were doing it in any other format where the goals mattered, right? Because like RSL right now, it's RSL would be out. Also, I believe that the 2 out of 3 really gives you a leg up in figuring out your opponent. I'm liking it. Although it seems like it's a little drug out and there's only one or two matches every other night, it fulfills a lot of things for me where it still keeps soccer constantly played, but it is making these matchups a lot of fun. And especially like the wild cards too. Although we all hate Sporting KC, like how fun is that for them to come in, dude, and knock out the first seed, dude? That's insane.
It's so much fun. Yeah,
it's fun.
All right, let's head over to Twitter and Instagram. Let's hear from you guys and answer some of your questions. We'll start with the Zerk. It's Zerk. I believe the momentum we got from our home game, we can finish things off at Houston. Houston was heated mainly through the second game. Not worried about SKC, but being cautious now that they eliminated St. Louis. Let's hope we can pack the stadium again for SKC.
Hopefully we get there, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. So let's just take care of Houston.
I agree. Question: Why was the first half? Second half was good. Oh, this is from Eric Whitaker. Question: Why was the first half so boring, but the second half was so good? Why can't they play like that more often? Also, does Demir Pique take him to 49? Thanks. We already talked about that, and no, it does not count towards his goals.
Doesn't count towards 49, and Chicho's the reason, bro. Chicho was the fire that we needed. You know? Right, Josh?
Yep.
Do you want to do a little metaphor for this one?
Metaphor?
Yeah, like what was Chicho? What was Chicho to us?
He was when Gandalf showed up in the Two Towers, just about as with the Riders of Rohan, just about as the Two Towers were to fall and save the day.
Awesome.
Hangry Hippo says, will Anelli start after Brody's awful game? I love Anelli. He has been he's been that surprise this season. I didn't think that he was going to be as successful as he has been throughout this first year. Obviously still a lot to learn. And going from college to the professional league, but Emeka Anelli has impressed me so much this season.
Absolutely. I hope he gets an opportunity on Saturday because I think Brody looked a bit tired, looked a bit on the struggle, and I think Anelli's ready to go.
Agree. Brody was not shining. Hangry Hippo, by the way, bro, shut up, dude. Don't tweet at me anymore. Thank you. You know why, Hangry Hippo. My personal is what I'm talking about. Don't tweet at me personally, bro. It's on site next time I see you. All right, next.
At Christian Berg says, going to need more minutes from Chicho to get the win. Level of play clearly changed once he stepped onto the field, and it's caused a lot of issues for Houston. Arsenal needs to come out as the aggressors, commit the first foul, press early on, take chances. Glad get your stuff together.
Did you censor that last part?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, 1,000%, man. I mean, that's 100% right. It's like what you Josh said on the reunion show with Jake. Come out, score first, commit the first foul, set the tone, set the first hard tackle. If we do that in their home stadium, and especially if we score a first goal, bro, that's sending a message. I'd love to see it. So hopefully we see that same intensity.
Mo Sweatshirt says, can we get a win on the road? Of course we can. Will we? Unlikely based on the way we've been playing. Tactics don't make any sense, but with Chicho on the field, we are a different team. I predict we fight hard and force penalties. If we can advance, I feel great against SKC. Anything can happen in a one-game match, and the atmosphere in the stadium last game makes me think that it will be like the riot of old.
So, yeah. Is that what that means? So if we eliminate Houston because we're technically the higher seed, then we host SKC at
America. We host SKC. Yep.
Oh, dude, that would be. This is how that match would go. Johnny Russell would definitely score a goal on us.
Whoa! Don't jinx.
Let's not even talk about it yet.
Don't jinx us.
All right, fine. All right. My predictions were right last time. You guys don't want to hear my prediction?
No.
Because I was right last time. But anyways, whatever. All right, go ahead. What's up? By the way, hang on. Mo Sweatshirt, what's up, dude? How you doing? Good friend of mine. We went to high school together. All right, next.
I think my favorite part about this Mo Sweatshirt comment is where he talks about the tactics don't make any sense. And it's funny because in the post-match presser, Pablo talks about how a Houston player, who is unnamed, came up to Pablo after the game and said, I really didn't want to play you for game three because your tactics are boring. And I like that. that wasn't the exact words he used, but that was the point. Sonny Olive says, I mean, if we're talking about the RSL team from the beginning of the season who is killing it in the road, yes, we will win. But if we play like we have in the road lately, it's going to be tough. But hoping we can play all in, we got this.
Good take.
Good take. Igonia says, we can take it to penalties again, but I don't know about scoring more than one goal in regulation. Maybe if Chicho starts. I think if we can beat Houston, though, we definitely stand a chance against SKC.
We absolutely stand a chance against SKC.
I agree.
Had Justin Glad not, you know, committed that error at the beginning of that last game, we would have wiped the floor with them. So it still scares me, right? You don't want to play your rival in the playoffs, but
yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to finish my prediction. We will beat SKC for sure. Okay, that's going to happen. Not without some drama. But back to what this person had said. Hang on, read that one time again. There was a thought there. Say it again. The last one.
Igona says, if we can take it to penalties again, I don't know about scoring more than one goal in regulation. Maybe if Chicho starts.
Okay, Chicho. That's what I wanted. That's where it was at. I don't know if Chicho will start, man. I don't know if Chicho has a full 90 in him. We saw, like we said, 35 minutes from him. Little bit of wincing, a lot of spark out of him, but I think he's still questionable. So I don't know if he will get a start. Do you guys think he'll start? I don't think he will.
I don't think so, but I think you go Musovski.
I think starting Chicho, no matter what way Paulo decides to go, it's a huge gamble regardless, because this could be your last game of the season. You want to go all in and you want to make sure that you get that win to advance your season. If he rests Chicho, keep him healthy for SKC, but again, do we get to SKC? So either way, Mastroeni has a big gamble to make this weekend.
I would like to see. I would accept 45 minutes from Chicho. If we lose, then it is what it is. If we pull a win, great. But I think, yeah, you conserve him and you conserve his energy, make sure he's okay. And you at least want to see him definitely in that SKC match.
For sure. And then the last one comes from Peke. RSL have been doing great away from home. A win on Saturday is manageable, but will be a battle. They played well second half, applying pressure. They need to keep up. They need to keep that up all game and need to counterattack. I'm going to say positive and believe RSL 2-1 RSL prevail in the semis.
Josh, yeah. What do you think, bro?
Yeah, no, I think those are all good takes. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know how to feel about this next game. That's really what it comes down to. I'm going through phases of pessimism. I'm going through phases of let's do this thing. It's, you know, it's that emotional roller coaster that we've all come to love.
Yeah.
I think, or Andy, go ahead.
You're not going to say that Peke is your sister, bro.
Shout out, Peke.
I just looked. I was like, hang on, that's your sister.
I have your shirt in my backpack.
Nice. She'll listen. She'll listen and she'll appreciate that.
So after Hand Sam, there is one more, though. It says, all I want to say is that Glad terrifies me back. They're making unnecessary one-touch balls. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, currently a liability. You want Glad on the field, but you want Glad to get it together all at the same time. It's one of those weird ones where you can't necessarily bench Glad, right?
Yeah.
But you also need him to stop committing these errors that are really hurting the team.
Yeah, I think he needs to believe in himself, man. You can see himself, or you can see him beating himself up after mistakes like that. But I don't know, man. Do we really want to hold this PK against him? Do we really want to
win in for the tackle, slip or not, as a center back? That's a high risk tackle in the box. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think yes, because of everything that's happened leading up to this game with Justin Glad. If he wasn't so susceptible to making mistakes heading into this game, I think maybe we can overlook it. But it's just been a consistent thing for Justin in this latter part of the season.
He needs to get saged.
Yeah. And a sports psychologist and some holy water.
Get some like lamb blood over his door. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Well, regardless.
Honestly, ever since I've picked up a game-worn autograph Glad jersey, it's been bad luck. So maybe I'll box that thing up.
Dude, hey, please. Actually, I was going to say we should get like his probably his best performing year jersey. Doesn't need to be signed, but we should go like bury it in his front yard or something, you know, like as an offering or something. Guys, what we're trying to say is we have in the past, we've asked about rituals and what you guys do for those, you know, pre-match rituals. So you guys need to bust those out. And actually, Josh, what was your pre-match ritual that you used to do?
Oh, man, I used to make little voodoo dolls. and then I would cut out the little pictures of like the players I like faces I didn't like off their trading cards. And then like, yeah,
you would like you'd bend their leg like a little ACL injury or something.
Yeah. And then we would like burn it in a fire pit.
Okay. All right. Maybe.
Yeah. I was a weird kid. You know?
Yeah, man. That was weird. That's weird kids. Weird kids.
Regardless. And however you guys feel, however we feel heading into game three, just always remember that Chicho Arango said, why not us? And that's the mentality they need heading into this game three.